MZTV.
This is Martin Zender from Lima, Peru, with a critical end time report. I'm purposely holding the camera this way and only showing half of my face so that I can get closer to the microphone. Otherwise, I have to do this. I'm just not up to it, so let's get right down to business. We're all looking, well, all of us except Clyde Pilkington and maybe 10 or 12 others, we're looking for this eon to end. We long to see the Lord, Jesus Christ. We long to be liberated from death. We long to be joined to our Lord in the air, when we will be fully apprised of the depth of the suffering of our Savior, the suffering that procured the salvation of the entire universe. In Paul's day, they did not know how close or far away the snatching away would be from the events prophesied by Daniel and later prophesied by John on the island of Patmos that would spell out the end of Aeon 3. We know that our Lord continually told his disciples to look for signs. Look for signs. Look for the season. Why? Because of what John says at the end of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And our Apostle Paul speaks to those of our brotherhood who love his appearing. Loving his appearing doesn't mean you want him to come someday. Loving his appearing means you want to see him now. Now. But now we know that there is very little time between the snatching away and the events leading up to the formation of the beast. There is a great correspondence between Daniel chapter 7 and the unveiling of Jesus Christ written by John. In Daniel chapter 7, John saw four beasts rising out of the sea. These have been correctly interpreted by A.E. Nock and others as four religions. A key translation is the Eastern beast was a lioness, whereas in the King James, you will read the first beast was a lioness. The second beast was a she-bear. It's not the first, the second. It's the Eastern beast that changes everything. As I told you on yesterday's show, go to YouTube and watch my shows on the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. The most amazing thing you will find is that the beast of Revelation, which brings in the mark of the beast, brings in the end of the days, occurs during the tribulation, ends in the return of Christ, that beast described by John is a perfect amalgamation of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. If you take the heads and the wings and any other body parts of these beasts, you add them together, you find the single beast of Revelation contains all the separate parts of the former beasts, because it swallows them up. The Western beast swallows up the three Eastern beasts to become one giant world power, both political and religious. This is a amalgamation of religion and politics. The beast is sometimes used to describe a person, sometimes used to describe a system. You have to look at the context. But the beast will basically rule the world. And the world will gladly serve the beast because, as I have reminded you over and over again, John is describing what he sees, and he calls it a beast. But as it appears on the earth, it looks very righteous. It does righteous things. It is extremely organized. It is extremely streamlined. It has demonstrated its power by overcoming the Eastern beasts. Now, over the weekend, we saw the United States government carry out an impressive military mission to keep a rogue Eastern beast nation, namely the Leopardus, from obtaining a nuclear weapon. No previous administration had the guts to stop them. In fact, they only encouraged them. They never took a hard line against them. And this emboldened them, as you can only imagine. It's only natural for that to happen. That's why we needed a strong leader to subjugate the East, because this is prophesied. Again, I told you it was prophesied 4,000 years ago by Daniel that the West would stamp out the East, would basically assume their power, not assume it, but negate it and incorporate whatever shattered remnants are left of it into its own operation. To the point that there will only be one force on the earth. Right now, there are four, really. The U.S., Aunt Irma, China, Russia. You'd be surprised to know that the battle is essentially religious. Maybe not on the surface. With Aunt Irma, it is. Aunt Irma is my code word for Iran. I don't want to say it too many times. I don't want it to be tagged by YouTube. They are obviously religious. Russia and China, not so much. But as I told you yesterday, the key description by Daniel of the Western beast that takes over, if you will, or stamps out the former Eastern beast, is that it is iron teeth and copper claws, which speaks of military might, which speaks of mechanized destruction, and that is exactly what we saw. And we have only just begun to see it, and that is the crux of this message. I didn't quite say it as imperatively as I wanted to yesterday, so I will say it here. I told you yesterday that Iran, Aunt Irma is supremely stupid. I'm not speaking of the people of the country. They're extremely kind, good people. Speaking of the regime, the leadership. In fact, I saw an AI image on YouTube. They are telling their people that they took down one of our stealth bombers. There's a picture of a crashed US B-2 bomber surrounded by Stone Age militants dancing around it like Israel danced around the golden calf. We saw the same hubris during the Gulf War when, you remember Baghdad Bob? He was a reporter from Baghdad. Our victorious forces have taken out the great Satan. And it was all the biggest pile of BS you ever heard. This, my friends, is known as propaganda. Some people, I guess, are dumb enough to believe it. But because previous administrations, U.S. administrations, have not retaliated against Aunt Irma's aggression, they have been emboldened. And even though Orange Man has said to them, if you retaliate against us after we destroy your little boombox playgrounds, then we are going to basically wipe you off the face of the earth. Not the people, but everything of value, military targets, oil, gas, the leadership, the human beings, there's going to be nothing left. And so what does Aunt Irma do today? Sends missiles over our Qatari air base. That's the closest target. They're not bright. Leaders. The leaders are not bright. They're dumber than a box of hammers, which is a beautiful term, actually, corresponding to Operation Midnight Hammer. Notice the hammer, iron teeth, copper claws. I believe the end of a hammer is made of iron. Maybe it's steel, I don't know. Close enough. But that's what Daniel was describing, a great military force that the world has never seen, and that's what we possess. And that's what was shown to the world. My prediction again. Well, my prediction came true. Wasn't too hard to predict it, because the leadership is stupid. And I believe the response of the U.S. will be breathtaking and awful. And it will be the fulfillment of Daniel 7. I have a late update for you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to keep you up to date of the latest things that I know, or the latest things that I'm learning as I'm following this story. It appears now, it could be true, I'm not 100% convinced it's true, but it could be true, that the Qatari attack by Aunt Irma may have been a saving face attack. That is, it's being reported now that they actually told the U.S. ahead of time, and we had everybody cleared out of that area, and that they just wanted to appear to the world that they responded to the United States' destruction of their nuclear capabilities. I have a hard time believing that they're that smart. I hope this is true, because my hypothesis that, well, it's not a hypothesis, it's Trump's promise that if they harm Americans in response, that he's going to raise hell. He's going to level hell upon their nation. Not the people, but the leadership and everything that's near and dear to them, including their lives. I don't want to see that. And I said in this video that it would be a even further demonstration of the iron teeth and the copper claws. But it could be that we've already seen that in Midnight Hammer operation. So beautifully executed was it. So profoundly impressive that other nations bow the knee to the U.S. It gives us such negotiating power that the world has been put on notice that our military is superior to anything else on earth. That might already have been proven with this Saturday night attack. So I hope and pray that it's true what is now being reported about the Qatari attack, that it was a show response, really, and that Aunt Irma is looking for an off ramp from war, because they know they're outdone and out everythinged, and if they're willing to come to the negotiation table, that would put us on the fast track, folks. That would mean we're closer than I even think we are. That would mean we're one step closer, and we don't need this extra added step of a further demonstration of military might. I hope that's true. I would love for that to be true. That, when I heard that, that was amazing to me. So I wanted to make sure that I gave you that option, that possibility. Of course, it could be a complete feint from Aunt Irma. Yeah, we just wanted to do something. Thanks for letting us. Didn't want to hurt anybody or anything. They do that with the right hand, and then with the left hand, they, you know, try to blow up a subway in New York or something. So, I mean, you just don't know with these folks. I hope that's the case, but those are the two options on the table. But best case scenario is that the Iron Teeth and Copper Claws, the true operational wonderment of it has been demonstrated to the world, and it will result in the world, again, perhaps not officially, but in essence, bowing down to the West and admitting that we are now the undisputed world power. People have said we were, but it has been doubted over the years because the United States' reputation has been decimated by previous administrations, starting with Obama, the apologist, and Biden, the bumblest. So what we have now is a leader who is truly worthy of the title White Horse Rider.